Great job, as always. I always like to see those smiles on their faces. I went 42, almost 43 years now thinking Kitty was singing and humming because she's married to me. Evidently, that's not the case. Learn something new every day. That's a good thing about coming to church, right? If you have your Bible, let's turn back to Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 through 25, and kind of just continue where we were there last Sunday about this thought of being brought out to being brought in. And Kitty was stepping on my sermon there just a little bit when they're speaking and singing about some of the individuals. And some of those individuals we're going to cover today of being brought out where God could bring them into something more. All right, Deuteronomy 6, 20 through 25. Let's look at that text again. "And when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. He brought us out from there, from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us through all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day." And you're going to see, before I read the next verse, a lot of the folks we're going to look at today, they feared the Lord their God, realized they was doing it for their good, even when they didn't understand it, even when it didn't look like things were happening to their good. They served God. "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this text, God, that many here today and almost all that are here today are living testimonies of. That God brought them out of bondage of sin. That God brought them out of the stronghold and the stranglehold of Satan to give them so much more, to give them new life, to make them a new creation in the Lord. God, to make them new. And we pray this morning there will be those that will be brought out of that bondage of sin and to be a new creation, be made a new creation in Christ today. So God, I pray you just move in our midst, and we ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look through these individuals, these characters of the Bible, maybe you might find yourself there. You say, well, that's what the Lord brought me out of. That's what the Lord delivered me from. Let's look at the author of this book to start with, Moses. You know, Moses understood being brought out, to be brought into something more. If you know Moses' story, he was brought out of the basket in the river because he was a good-looking child. And at that time, the leaders of Egypt were having all the boys slaughtered just as soon as they was born. But this Moses was rescued from that and put in a basket in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter seen him and brought him out of that basket. And they raised him in Pharaoh's house. For 40 years he was there. Then he seen some of his kinsmen being mistreated. He stood up for them, killed a man there, and then went into the wilderness. 40 years he spent in the wilderness. And after 40 years, he's brought out of the wilderness to lead the people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. He understood what being brought out for something more, for a greater purpose, meant. He finally arrived at his purpose at the age of 80 years old. And I want you to see in these next two characters we're going to use that age does not matter. God can use you no matter where you're at in life, no matter your age in life. At 80 years old, he was brought out to meet his purpose, to deliver. But notice what he did. It might be something we're all guilty of. He argued with God. Exodus 3:11 says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And typically, if God is calling you and speaking to you, that'll be the first thing you'll say. God, who am I to do that? Surely there are others more capable, more educated, could do a better job. Moses argues with God. He goes on in Exodus 4:1. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Kitty remembers when I was
fighting God about being called to preach. I told her, I said, kiddie, I'll be the laughing stock of our community. Somebody, all he knows to do is grow cabbage and to stand up and say that God has called him to preach. And that's the typical argument for us all. Then in Exodus 4:10, and Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. He says, I was never eloquent, I'm not now, and I'm not going to be eloquent anytime soon. But I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And God, if you read this story, simply says, are you going to keep making excuses or do what I say? Have you ever found yourself there? God wanting to use you, been calling you now for months, for years, and you putting up arguments like Moses? He wanted to bring Moses out of that and bring him in, make him one of the greatest leaders that the Bible has ever known. Could that be you today? Or do you want to spend the rest of your life wondering, what if? That kind of pushed me over the threshold, I guess, to saying yes to the Lord. In a short period of time, within days, I met two older gentlemen that both confided in me. Wendell, God's called me to preach. I don't know for how long, these young men. I just resisted, didn't do it. He said, now I regret it. Both of those men with tears in their eyes. I said, Wendell, if you keep going, that's going to be you. Living your life wondering what if. I would rather try and fail than live the rest of my life wondering what if I'd have surrendered to God. Could that be you today? He's wanting to bring you out, to bring you into something more. Joseph is a good example of being brought out. We look at his story, he's brought out of at least three pits. His brothers hated him, as he was most liked by his dad, and he told them some dreams where they were bound down to him, and they got real mad at him, hated him, and they threw him into a pit, and they meant to kill him, but one of the brothers said, no, let's don't do that. Let's just sell him into slavery. So in Genesis 37:28, the Bible says, then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. At this time, Joseph is 17 years old when he is thrown into that first pit. And if you know his storyline, he found favor everywhere he went. He was sold to a guy named Potiphar. He was in just a few short days, he was over his whole household. Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph trying to have an affair with him, Potiphar believed him, and we find Joseph in another pit. Joseph didn't stay there, though. It says Genesis 39:20, and Joseph's master took him, put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Joseph found favor even with the taskmaster, the jail keeper, the prison guards there, and the warden, I guess, of the prison, we would call it in our day and time. But because it says in Genesis 39:21, but the Lord is with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and with that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph is a great example of serving God no matter where God may put you, wherever you may find yourself. You stay faithful to God. If you do that, God has something more for you in store. I promise you that. Now, while he was in prison, he found favor. He was delivered, but yet he was still confined. There was a time then that the leader of Egypt had a dream. None of his men could interpret that dream. And he was told, there is a young man here in prison that can interpret dreams. He's done it before. They called him out, and he said, here's the interpretation of your dream. There's going to be 7 years of prosper, bounty. Man, the land's going to really produce. Then there's going to be 7 years of famine. You need to prepare for the 7 years of famine by laying up now in store each year that there is plenty. The leader said, that's exactly right. I'm going to do what he says. And he made Joseph over everything. The Bible says in Genesis 41:43, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old. I want you to notice that. It had been 13 years since he had been thrown in that pit. Now, 13 years later, he's second in command in Egypt, only behind Pharaoh himself. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. God had a purpose for him in mind. From the moment he was thrown into that first pit to the time he's riding second in command behind Pharaoh, it took him a little while to get there. It didn't happen overnight. And there had to be some time. Joseph wondered, man, I don't think this is what I signed up for. Just try to do good and I find myself knocked down in a pit. It all turns out to bad. But when he stayed faithful, kept pressing on, stayed godly, lived righteousness, in the end, God blessed him and used him in a mighty way. Could that be you today? You've tried, but it seemed like every time you tried, you got knocked down. Things just fell apart. Nothing seemed to work out. I want to encourage you. You take encouragement from Joseph today. You keep pressing on. You keep doing what is right. He's going to bring you out, and he can use you. I don't care your age here this morning. We have two great examples of a guy that's 40, 80, 120 being used, and we have this young boy, 17, now 30 years old, riding a second in command in Egypt. You stay faithful. See, God had a plan for Joseph from the get-go. It says in Genesis 50, 20, you know the story. Can't fill in all the blanks because I want to look at a lot of individuals here this morning. How he was found favor, laid up food. His family had to come to him and beg for food. They didn't recognize him. He finally revealed himself to them, and he said this in Genesis 50, 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, talking to his brothers, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That could be you today. That could be you today. Like the first or second pitch, you may have quit. You may have said it's not worth it. But if you keep pressing on, you'll finally see God's complete plan for you this morning. I like the little story of Gideon. I think he represents a lot of us because he was hiding from God. In Judges 6, it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is an Ophron, that pertained unto Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Get the picture now. It's dark. He's there threshing wheat. He's hiding. The Midianites have come. They're at God's hand of judgment against Israel. And the angel of the Lord appeared on him and said on him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And you can almost hear in the darkness Gideon say, who, me? Mighty man of valor, I'm hiding. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Is that a question you've ever asked God? Why is all this happening to me? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, and saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, forgotten us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Oh, you hiding warrior, you. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. And Manasseh, I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. I think that's part of the equation that we tend to forget at times, that God is with us. If he's calling us, he's going with us. He's going to equip us. He's going to provide for us. Do not be afraid. Quit hiding from God. Let him use you in a mighty way. God used him to slay the Midianites. He brought him out of hiding for a greater purpose. He whittled him down to 300 men. And with those 300 men, he took a whole army. God had a purpose. He brought him out behind the thrashing floor there to use him to deliver Israel. Once again, he came one of Israel's judges. Then there's ladies that God has used in a mighty way. We can look at Ruth, brought her out of Moab as a foreign widow to make her the grandmother of King David. I love her story. She could have chose a lot of things, but one reason was her commitment. I think that's why God used her, provided for her Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, and used her to be the grandmother of King David. I love this saying. It talks about her persistence and her commitment to God. And in the end, it paid off. In Ruth 1:16, we read this sometimes at wedding and different things. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord be so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." If we had that type of commitment to God, God is going to use us sometimes in spite of ourselves. No matter how much resistance we put up, no matter how much we say no, Ruth said, "I am going to follow God. And wherever I end up and what state I find myself, that'll be all right as long as He is with me." I like Rahab the harlot. Now, I'm sure if Rahab is in heaven right now, and I know that she is sick and tired of people putting that tag on her name. "Why don't you just call me Rahab?" But she's known throughout history as Rahab the harlot. She was brought out of harlotry, a lady with a reputation, but that not keep her from doing what was right. When the time came, the spies came that Joshua had sent out to spy out Jericho. She knew what was right. She knew the God that was in control. It wasn't the little gods that her city was serving. It was the God. You find in Joshua 2:1-4 this story. "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men to hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, 'Thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.'" She told a little white lie. But she was protecting God's people. She was doing what was right. She knew as God was working. Listen to what she says next in Joshua 2:9. "And she said unto me, 'And I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." What a statement. What a statement. Your decision this morning might do just that. There's going to be folks in your family follow you. They've been waiting on you. This morning, your decision may save your father, your mother, your brethren, your sisters, and all that they have. God wants to deliver you. In turn, He'll deliver your family. The Bible says in Joshua 6:23, "And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel." God did what He said we'd do. If you'll be faithful, He says, to hide these spies, not let the people get them, not tell what's going on. If you tie this little ribbon there in your window, I'll make sure all that's under protection of that ribbon that not be touched and not be a hand laid upon them. If you'll be faithful to do that, the spies say, "We'll be faithful. Our God is faithful this morning." So I want you to see that because of her faithfulness, her family and all that she had was saved. There's another lady I like to, a few years ago I preached through the book of Esther, and I think it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done here at the church. It says in Esther 2:7, "He brought out this Jewish orphan and made her queen." Isn't that amazing? It says, "And he brought up Hadassah," that is Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter, and you know her story. The king liked her better than anybody and made her queen. But there come a time Haman, an evil man in the kingdom there, had a plan to destroy the Jews. He didn't know the queen was a part of that, that she was a Jew herself. And now Esther has the opportunity to deliver all of her women, all of her kinsmen. It says in Esther 4:14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." You know, God doesn't have to use us. He just chooses to. "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knows? If you're being obedient to God, this very morning has been set in stone for in ages past. That it was ordained that you would step forward. It was ordained that you would answer God's call this morning and deliver many alive. The Bible goes on now. Esther just goes to prayer, and it says in Esther 4:16, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law." And listen to what she says. "If I perish, I perish." She realized it was a time for action. There comes a time in all of us' lives, it is time to move. There is no other option. There's no need to wait any longer. If God is calling you, if He is speaking you, now is the day of action. This very morning, it's time to step forward, step out, and see what God wants to bring you into. King David started out a shepherd boy. I love his story because we can relate to him so well. 1 Samuel 16:11, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? Is this it?" He said, "No, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and get him, fetch him, bring him out, for we will not sit down till he come hither." God took that little shepherd boy, slayed the giant that we sung about this morning in the praise song, and became one of the greatest kings Israel had ever knew. Probably there with those sheep, he never entered his mind, "I'll be king one day. I'm the least of these. I'm just a shepherd boy." Could that be you today? What about the apostles? You know, Jesus called out, brought out these fishermen, these tax collectors, the least of society, if you will, and made them fishers of men. He took these 12 men, and I love what's said about them in Acts 17:6. It says, "When they found them out, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Oh, that could be said of us." Here comes that bunch from Skyview. They have turned the world upside down around their community, and now they're here in our city. Now they're here doing ministry. They have a purpose in mind. They have a vision in mind. That could be said about us. He brought us out outside these church doors to put us out in the community that could many be saved alive. That seems to be the outcome when people step out in faith. It makes a difference because God is with them. These 12 men that were the least of the least, the most unlikely, had turned the world upside down. What about Paul, named Saul? He's brought out from Judaism to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to write 13 books of the New Testament, words of God that have convicted and saved probably a number that no man will ever know this side of heaven. Used him in a mighty way. A murderer, killer of the Jews, persecutor of the church, but yet used him in a mighty way. Philemon, that we preached about for 4 or 5 Sundays. In Philemon 1:15, it says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." Brought him out of the temporary and brought him into the eternal. That may be where a lot of you are this morning. You're stuck in the temporary. You're stuck in worldly things, earthly things. But God wants to give you so much more. And all you got to do is let him bring you out. The woman at the well is a great example. She was brought out of a life of sin to be a witness for our Lord and Savior. The Bible says in John 4:17, "The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, to whom you now are married to, hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly." Yeah, you're right about that. So she's willing to tell the truth. And then after she realized who he was, I believe gotten saved at that moment in his presence. In John 4:29, she says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" To see her witnessing for him. Then John 4:39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed. I want you to notice how many times the word believed is in these texts. Believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. He abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because thou sayest, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." If you allow him to bring you out this morning, there's an untold number you may influence. You can leave this place, and I want to tell you what God has done for me, what he has delivered me from. You'll be a living testimony, a living witness. Zacchaeus, the little short guy that climbed a sycamore tree so he could get a good view of God. God brought him down. Jesus brought him out of that tree, met with him that day, saved him. He found the Lord that day. He brought him out of that tree and went into his house to show the city the power of God, how it could change a man. This thief, this cheat, this liar, we find in Luke 19:8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." There's the power of God, what it can do to a man and woman, change him completely. What about the Gadarene demonic? I like his story. Another great example of what God can do for a man, what God can bring you out of and bring you into. We find this man, if you want to get a picture, his desperate estate. Look at Luke 8:27. "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, wearing no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." Get a picture of him now. And then in Luke 8:29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. He broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." What a despicable state to find yourself in. Unclothed, wild as a buck. Nobody could handle him, just out of your mind. But when he had an encounter with Jesus, I want you to look in Luke 8:35. You want to see what the power of God looks like, change the man. "Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he hath possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." That is our marching orders this morning. We're not to go back to our seat and sit down. We're to be engaging people, letting them know the power of God can change me and it can change you. This Gadarene demonic, no matter what his past was now a witness and a living testimony for our living Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to conclude this morning with Lazarus. Now, how could Lazarus, a dead man, been dead 4 days, be a demonstration of God's power? The Bible says in John 11:43, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, Loose him and let him go." Now, he didn't go back and sit down. You find him in John 12:9. "Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake." Think about that statement only. "But they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Lazarus was now a dangerous man. in their eyes. People were coming to the Lord when they seen the power of God, when he brought him out of the tomb, brought him out of the grave, and now he's a living testimony of the power of God. It says in John 12:17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they that heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Could that be you today? He has brought you out of the bondage of sin. He has delivered you, and now you're in a living example of the power of God, and the world has gone after Christ because what he has seen him do for you. Could that be you today? If not, let him bring you out and let him bring you in. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. And this only scratches the surface of the examples that we have in Scripture. We have many more sitting in this congregation today. So God, I pray that we'll allow God to bring us out and bring us into something far, far greater. God, I pray thy will be done in this invitation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, for some reason you put off letting God use you and bring you out of the bondage of sin or whatever may have you bound this morning, and you realize, I want to be one of these examples. I want to be a testimony of the power of God. If that be you this morning, you come. Let us know you've accepted Christ, your Savior. Come if you want to receive him this morning. Gary or one of us will pray with you. Come this morning if you want to be a part of the baptism next Sunday, 3 o'clock. Speak to us about that. Or maybe you feel like this is the place you want to officially call home here at Skyview. If that be your desire this morning, we invite you to come. As we stand and sing, Roger, lead us.
We're going to sing hymn 307. 307, Just As I Am.
Just as you are, that's how God wants you today.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
On this verse, if God is speaking, you come this morning.
Just as
we have record of those that argued and waited. It didn't do them any good. Finally, they had to surrender to God. Why don't you do it sooner rather than later?
Of one dark blood to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb.
Just sing one more verse.
Of God,
God is speaking. God is calling. You come.
I come. Just as I am, though tossed above with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb.
We'll sing another verse.
God
is speaking to you this morning.
Come.
We invite you to come.
I come just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find.
Let's just finish. Keep singing.
Oh God,
song has a lot of verses. Maybe time we sung them all.
I come just as I am.
Thank you so much this morning, Clifford and Lear. It's just great to see them today. We know it's been a long journey for them, and they just want to say from the bottom of their heart how much they appreciate the church, all you've done for them, especially Gary. He's done so much for them, and I just want to thank him personally also. But let's just give Clifford and Lear a hand today. Just welcome them back in our fellowship, and it's good to see them. So I know that they would love to have a word of encouragement from you, and I pray they continue to do better and do well in the days ahead. Thank you so much for being here today. There's a great time of fellowship downstairs. Enjoy that. Then find you a Sunday school class. They're provided for all ages. I'll dismiss us in prayer. If you want to come say a word to Clifford and Lyra, I invite you to do that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day you blessed us with. We pray, God, you'll continue to be with us throughout the morning, that you'll continue to call people out, to bring them out, to bring them into something so much more. Again, God, just thank you so much for Clifford and Lear being with us today, and I pray they'll be with us from now on out. So God, bless them, heal them, touch them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless you.